This is Vacant Expressions. 1 hour of your life you will not get back. As always, we're your hosts, Wes and John Fox, and today I wanted to talk about the reformation of fandom and of video game culture. You thought for a moment there we were going to talk about the Catholic Church, didn't you? Yeah. No. This episode is me making my case that fandom, at least parts of fandom and science fiction and video gamers in particular, and kind of the geek world, is in dire need of a reformation, just like the Catholic Church went through its reformation and kind of a change in direction, kind of a historic change in how we do things. And so that is what I'm going to blather on about today. But for now, to start with, John, how are you doing? And what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a double espresso right now. I'm about to have some yerba mate. I am just kind of just rocking a lot of caffeine, still going dry. But yeah, you know, I mean, have you upped your security detail, you know, trying to do this, you know, reformation on sci-fi and fantasy fandom?
Yes. Yes. I travel with a crew now, and yeah, I'm going to be changing my name and going into witness protection, I suppose.
I mean, you got to up your cyber security. You don't want to get swatted.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Oh, jeez. You are at risk. Yeah, well, we will talk about this after the show.
Well, I got I have just begun my dry month, and I have some kombucha, pink lady apple, which granted does have a small amount of alcohol in it, but it's so small that I am not going to count it.
It's trace amounts. It's like what your mouth absorbs in mouthwash or something like that, not even, or whatever, you know, so it's, you don't have to.
I mean, they call them family friendly, like at the grocery store, so they do allow kids to sample kombucha. So yeah, that's how low it is, you know. Mm-hmm. You can give it to children.
Make it at home, though, and you could, you make it alcoholic on accident real quick. Or not real quick if it's left unattended. And you're like, I want to see if this still worked out.
Yeah. It's also highly flammable. And if you don't use the right ingredients, it's been known to put people in a coma. But, you know, it's good for you. Yeah. I don't know if any of that's true. But, yeah, that's what I'm
thinking here. The scoby that grows it, you know, it's closely related to flesh-eating bacteria. So you really got to make sure you know where you're getting it from, right? You can just eat your intestines alive.
Yeah, when you go to buy the bacteria, make sure they get it from the right bin or the right vial. And they don't store their flesh eating next to it. You know?
Yeah, they're spelled almost the exact same.
And they always store them next to each other. I don't know why.
The poisonous one smells better.
Yes, yes, yeah.
But it smells like watermelon Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, not watermelon. Watermelon Jolly Rancher. All right.
So let's elaborate on the topic a little bit more. I think it doesn't really make a lot of sense right now. And yeah, people might have a lot of their own theories on what you mean. So what do you mean?
All right. So if you're an informed person like me, you can go to Wikipedia and read about the Reformation and become an expert instantly. But basically what happened, and I'll start with the historical thing first. Right around the 16th century, the Catholic Church had a crisis of a schism going along in the faith. And Martin Luther, who founded the Lutheran Church, and a bunch of others, Calvin and the Calvinists, were challenging some of the practices and policies of the church. You know, the Pope would sell, for example, the Pope would sell indulgences to lords to kind of forgive them for their sins in exchange for money. So they were basically selling entry into heaven for cash, and that's how the church would raise money. And then the Pope and the cardinals would kind of claim this authority over purgatory and entry into purgatory, and basically all these things that are not in the Bible. They're just creating their own kind of Vatican law, and all in an effort to kind of increase their role in daily lives and also increase their political power. Well, Martin Luther and others had a problem with it, and so they challenged it. And that led to the Reformation, the Protestant Church, what have you. So, why all that? Well, I kind of feel like, and I kind of occurred to me that a lot of fans out there of science fiction, maybe fantasy comic books, but also just the real fandom, the hardcore fans, you know, that go to Comic-Con and are obsessed with, you know, talk about these things on the internet all the time, and also video hardcore video gamers, like some of them behave and are behaving just like the Catholic Church did about their fandom, about what they love. They feel like they have, and here are the similarities. I came up with four. The first one is between the Catholic Church and these, and this is just like a subsection of all fans. This is not all fans. There's like just a problem spot here I want to talk about. Both this hardcore fandom and the Catholic Church have an undeserved sense of authority and ownership over the subject matter. You know, heaven, God, the Bible. In one case, in the other case, you know, Star Wars canon or Star Trek canon, or what are the real movies? What are the real books? You know, what is the real thing, and who's ruining it? You know, who's the enemy? They all believe like they have this authority, and that anyone else who disagrees with them is not of the faith and isn't a real fan. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the exact same thing as the Pope excommunicating people, of selling indulgences, and basically pretending like he controls who goes into purgatory and who goes to heaven. Not really something in the Bible and things like that. So that's the first thing. Second is their obsessive, strict adherence to doctrine as interpreted by them. And, you know, they even call the Star Wars movies canon. Canon is a term often used for religious texts, which, you know, that kind of crossover there, I always find amusing. Mm-hmm. They're also both exclusionary in nature and like to form their own elite kind of priesthood. So, like, you have the true fans, the hardcore fans, like the real, you know, the real ones versus the kind of casual ones or the noobs that come lately. They like to exclude them, and they like kind of see them as second class. And then, of course, you know, there's that like I've been saying, the hostility they have towards the outside. You know, if you're not part of their priesthood, then you're not really, you know, you're an enemy. You're almost like a heathen. A heretic or blasphemer, and like you see this they turn their kind of anger, like in Star Wars, like at George Lucas for making those three prequels. Like there was like a almost violent reaction to it online and at conventions, that he was like ruining the franchise with the prequels.
Absolutely. I mean, I was violently ill at the viewing of the first one.
Yeah, the first one is bad.
Episode one. I mean, so it was definitely a violent reaction all around.
Well, there's also
actually, I kind of liked it. I didn't really understand at that point why it was that bad, just because we had never seen it done that way before. So it was kind of hard to really digest how bad it was at first. I mean, it felt stale, all the acting and stuff. But you're like, you know, we got Star Wars again. And then but anyway, I digress. That's not what you're talking about. Continue. You're on a roll.
Yeah. The other example I can think of is Gamergate, when I can't remember her name. I think her name was Zoe Quinn. But like a lot more women were being involved in video game design and gaming, and were trying to make their way into the MMORPGs that people play. And of course, when you go there, you're going to run into trolls. And some of these trolls, they took it upon themselves to do everything they could to intimidate and scare the shit out of every single female gamer they came across, and any attempt to make video gaming in general more inclusive or more egalitarian, or to kind of branch out and kind of into new types of games, new types of concepts and everything like else, and kind of keep it to its kind of male fantasy dominated base, which is where it did start. And I think you said you had a story coming across a particular fan that also reacted negatively to a change to a game. Don't give any no names, of course, but I think it was the game Battlefield, right?
Yeah, I think it was the reaction. I don't think it was purposely like sexist or anything like that, but it definitely showed like the tone of the culture. And it was complaining about the new female character that had purple hair, prosthetic hand, you know, like arm or something like that, in this World War II game going through, and that it wasn't like historically accurate or anything like that. It didn't make sense, and it seemed like it was over trying to like shove this like, you know, progressive, you know, like figure down our throats for no reason in this game. And I thought at first, I'm like, you know, as they're slowly telling the story, it's like, okay, yeah, that seems weird. There's not really purple hair. And then someone fighting with prosthetic, you know, they weren't good at prosthetics in World War II. It's not that realistic. So like, I kind of get what you're saying. But then like, after I realized the whole bigger picture of the whole argument, I was all like, and I read about it myself and I was like, you know, who cares? Why are we having this argument? It's a video game. If it's like has a more inclusive character and the gameplay is the same and it doesn't really matter and it's like attracting like more people and it's more inclusive and it's actually just like, I don't know, kind of badass all around. You know, for whether you're disabled, whether you're just like of an alternative lifestyle, whether you're a female, like it's just kind of fun. And there was a lot of people fighting in the resistance, that helped make, you know, World War II happen and stuff. And they weren't, necessarily the regular soldiers in the front line, especially all over like Europe. So, I mean, it was an interesting story to be told, whether it was accurate or not. It's just a video game. It doesn't really matter. You know, like it's more of a reflection of like, you know, the people that it's trying to like market to and that it wants to feel included in the game. And I think that's what it should be looked at as a positive thing for that. And I think the culture itself was like, no, it's not trying to be sexist. We're just saying historically accurate. And it's all like, well, one way or another, it doesn't matter. It's a video game. So like, it's like, why is this an argument that's worth to be have? There's so many different versions of the game. Just don't play that one.
Yeah. Yeah. The cover of Battlefield 5 has a female soldier on it, but she looks to me like a French freedom fighter, which there were female French freedom fighters. I'm sorry. That was a thing.
A lot. Yeah. They kicked some ass. There's some amazing stories of World War II and French freedom fighters. They're some of the biggest badass espionage stories of World War II right there. Like that is a plot line worth playing. Seriously.
No, it kind of reminded me like, well, all right. So they're on the cover. Why'd you put them on the cover? It's like, well, think about the, how many Battlefield and Call of Duty games have just all guys on the covers? This is the first one that has a female on the cover, and you're freaking out. Like it's almost like you can't give it one. You can't it has to be all men all the time. And this reminds me of the movie. Somebody was kind of like pushing back about how special Black Panther is, the movie. And I said, I'm like, well, it's unusual because it's the first, you know, black, you know, it's one of the first like black female leads or black male leads for, you know, a superhero movie. And their immediate reaction was, oh, that's such bullshit. What about Blade? I'm like, all right, you're right. Blade back in 1998. Do you got any more? And there's crickets. I'm like, all right, so there's one. I probably should have mentioned that too. But like, I'm like, all right, so you have, because they had Blade back in the 90s, they're not in need of any more. Like that's their token. That's all they're going to get. And you're upset a second movie 20 years later was made so it's not a big, you don't think that's a big deal. And the box office receipts would suggest otherwise. So like all I was saying was, look, it doesn't make the movie superior. It doesn't make the movie artfully like a vast thing. Maybe culturally it's, but like, socially, it is significant by that virtue alone. And if you, I think you're ignoring a lot of evidence otherwise, and why be angry about it too?
Yourself. It just says a lot about your underlying opinions. Like you could find maybe an argument that you're trying to say isn't like racist, but it's all like it's a racist logic or it's a weird logic in the background that's trying to find these arguments. Hey, it's not technically an offensive, you know, point. I'm not doing it for that reason or whatever. It's really for this reason that's really innocent. It's like, why are you spending time splitting hairs? Like, why? Yeah.
And the reaction to the Force Awakens with the new hero being female instead of Luke Skywalker and the other major lead being black. And they kind of roll their eyes at that. And I'm like, why? Like, one of the biggest things that people noticed about the original trilogy was that it was basically 98% of the characters were men. There was only two women in the universe. That was an ongoing joke. That's a Family Guy joke.
I've heard people say it's like, yeah, well, but there's just like no character development. We don't really know who any of these characters are or anything. It's like, dude, the original Star Wars weren't some like epic like acting saga backstory that you really knew everything. Like, it was very, everyone was pretty one-dimensional. Let's be real. You know, so like this is actually probably going to be a little bit better and more well done than the originals, and it's just doing it in a different way, and it's just like different for you. You have to introduce new characters at some point. How much backstory do you want us to spend on it? You know, like good story writing now is a lot of reading it between the lines, trying to guess, and then, you know, unfolding the story in the future and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's the way that they're choosing to tell the story.
I think the reason is a lot of that backstory and a lot of that, you know, information came from the novels. There's only been a couple novels written in the Force Awakens era. They're all from, you know, so they have all these other sources of information that are not the movies. And so when they're upset that the movies aren't giving them information, it's like, well, yeah, you got a lot of it from non-movies for the other characters, the older characters. So it's not exactly a fair one-on-one comparison.
Well, and did those novels exist when the original Star Wars movies were released?
No.
Exactly. So like this, like so it's just a non-argument. It's just like splitting hairs when you're just upset that there's like more diversity and you feel like it's getting shoved down your throat.
And this is
bullshit.
And this is and these things are basically not too far from troll arguments, but they have some momentum, and they're talked about sometimes in forums and even publicly in Comic Cons about, you know, Rose and Finn, and about their kind of side thing being, you know, completely pointless or whatever, and that they failed miserably. And I'm like, well, that's true, but keep in mind, in Empire Strikes Back, Han Solo failed completely. Like they tried to escape the Empire, you know, after the Battle of Hoth. They failed. He got frozen in carbonite and she was captured. And the only reason she wasn't captured is because Lando switched up. So it's not
part of the reason why it's a good story, because it's a really hard battle, but the heroes always end up winning, but they do it the hard way. There's, you know.
Yeah. It's so a lot of it, like they're not the comparison to the originals actually doesn't really boost their argument. There's a lot of the inclusion of a female lead now as the new head of the Jedi. Me, so what? You had six straight movies where it was a guy with the last name of Skywalker. The seventh one's a woman. It's still 6-1. So it's not like we're transforming this into like a feminist, women's rights, social justice, progressive franchise. Okay, that is not what Force Awakens and Last Jedi do. The fact
it's
that
just
it
people,
has
it's just
a
people
woman.
Seeing any people just seeing anything that's remotely like teetering it in the other direction and them feeling threatened by it just shows so much about like a lot of their other thought behind that.
And this is how the priesthood was in the Catholic faith. It had to be their way, their interpretation of doctrine, and nothing else. Everything else was heresy. And not even tolerable in any way. And that's how I feel about the segments that are just, you know, just nastily against a lot of the choices that Star Wars has made, the new movies, and of Black Panther, and of trying to think of some other. I know TV, there's been all sorts of controversies of including as many diverse characters as possible, and female characters, and, you know, non-hetero. And there's just this eye-rolling going on that they're doing this for political ends. And even if that is part of their motivation, the fact that everything that came before that was male-dominated and white, it apparently does not, it doesn't, they don't notice the fact that their genre is still dominated by one type. The fact that that domination is decreasing it feels like you're responding in a way like that's a threat. Like, look, you're still like there's still a lot more white male characters than any other type. And that'll
also
be true for
also,
a long time.
Why should it matter? There's 2 points overall.
Well, and that's the other thing. They think they're changing doctrine. They're changing what comic book stories are, what superhero stories are, what science fiction, what Star Wars is. They think they're changing the thing, the doctrine, the core of what it is, and they're getting upset. And I'm going to go ahead and just throw myself under the bus. I am guilty of this on this show when it comes to Star Trek Discovery. I don't watch it, and I think it's a shitty show. I think it's a great space opera show, but it's not Star Trek because it ignores a lot of what Gene Roddenberry had in mind when he made Star Trek and what made it unique. So I don't watch it. And I'm kind of in that group. I am not upset that, like, when people ask, like, what's wrong with it, I'm like, it's not positive. It's negative. I don't care that the main character is a black woman. I don't care that Michelle Yeoh is in there and that they're doing all these new things with representation of aliens in the show. That is not the part that bothers me at all. the part that bothers me is that it's about, at least the first season, was all about war and violence and nothing about aspirational motives and nothing of the philosophy of the Federation. That was all gutted out in favor of an exciting war story. So that's what but I'm doing the same thing. I'm saying Star Trek is this. You're doing something else with it, and for me, it's not as good. Now, do I think that CBS, they should be hanged? And that, you know what? No, I'm not angry to the point of like throwing nasty words at people and threatening them and intimidating them. But I do have that. I did have that reaction to Discovery. And so, like, I mean, there is kind of a part of it that I am. And when I was younger,
you're right. You're right. I bet you if you went through most of our shows and you heard our strong opinions about things that we hold closely, we probably totally have been guilty of this before. So I think that that's definitely good to take a look in the mirror and see what we could do to reform ourselves too, maybe. I agree with you on the Star Trek one, you know, like it's turning it negative and violent when it used to be positive and a more like scientific approach to the future. I feel like that's a decent like doctrine related to the show to hold on to. And you're right. It's what made Star Trek unique to anything else. Everything else is either post-apocalyptic or just like future like battles and like huge like, you know, conflicts and stuff, which end up happening in Star Trek, but the mentality in the future isn't the complete like greed and power and stuff. And that's just like super unique. And I feel like Star Trek needs to be put more in pop culture right now because like technology is moving way faster than social progress is. So like Star Trek almost needs to be done the right way and needs to be more popular than ever.
And I named off four, you know, like the four kind of like element, like the four elements of this kind of like, you know, priesthood or hardcore priesthood. And we are guilty a little bit of like the adherence to doctrine. I don't think I sometimes like am okay with them building out a little bit, but yes, there's definitely some things where I think, no, that's wrong. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm guilty of that one. Do I feel an undeserved sense of authority and ownership over the properties? No, because I'm not George Lucas. I'm not, I don't own Disney. I don't write these books. So like when I read the books, I'll be straight up. Like, I don't like the sequel. I don't like what they're doing with it. But do I feel like they've hurt me? Like I'm aggrieved and I should be compensated. And like, there's like this something of mine's been damaged. Like, no, it's their art. It's they're doing it. The fact that the fact that their artwork might be going in the wrong direction, in my opinion, does not mean that I'm being physically harmed by this. And I think that's the difference too. So, I mean, I do sometimes feel like, yes, I'm an expert in some of these things and I have a better idea of where they should be going. But I feel like you and I both kind of understand we don't own it.
Yeah. Man, I'm just thinking about the South Park episode where the boys were trying to save like the original Indiana Jones and Star Wars and everything from like the original people and stuff. And I felt conflicted about it, even though like it was an interesting point they were making. I was like, well, if it was the creators of the original content, then they're allowed to change it. And they're like, no, we need to save it from them because now it belongs to us once you put it out there. Like it was a really interesting point of view. Like South Park, it makes you think.
Yeah, was it the new Indiana Jones? Like they walked out of there pretending they like witnessed a rape and they didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, like he raped him. Oh, it was pretty bad. Yeah. I mean, come on, dude. There was a nuclear blast in the new Indiana Jones, man, and he survived it in a freaking refrigerator. Like, it's supposed to be based in some sort of science. Like, come on, he's an archaeologist. Like, there's just you're just insulting the intelligence of the nerdy people that kind of like this stuff. Like, on top of it being an action and adventure, and you don't have to be a scientist to still like the character. But, like, that was tough. That was real tough.
But what about, like, there's also the you and I have, I think, gone off on this before. Like, the other thing is being exclusionary. You know, only real fans need apply kind of thing. Or only real gamers should be allowed to play. Like, and we've never, like, we've always held the opposite opinion that, and I mean, I've talked about it before, like, for Comic-Con conventions, where guys get really upset about booth babes and about, you know, women being there trying to titillate them but know nothing about, you know, the stories and the characters they're portraying. And, like, to me, and that was just one else, but the other thing is they have a sexual harassment issue at conventions. And to me, like, I was like, I'd be on the opposite end. I was like, I don't want to exclude people from what I love, like women. I mean, when I was a kid, if I knew like there was like girls that love to play video games or love the same movies again, I'd be like celebrating. Like, yes, now we can share everything, you know, but well, there's not, they don't like, some people don't have that feeling like, no, this is ours. This is belongs to us. You don't belong. And they exclude well, and they get nasty
exposes,
about it.
It exposes a, like, some like toxic masculinity and bro culture that's in the tech and gaming industry still. That still needs a far way to go. We feel like in sometimes it's advanced and it's ahead of the curve in some ways, but in other ways, it really like needs a big light shined on it and needs to start thinking about itself because there's a huge, like, in the tech culture, the bro world, the crazy misogyny and stuff in the gamer culture and everything, it all really needs to be checked.
Yeah, there's I think the reason is to, like, there, and I think I kind of recognize this when I was younger too, is like, there's what we consider normal and acceptable and okay, like, everyone's kind of definition, they don't realize how different their definition is from what, you know, a professional kind of more, you know, more open and more accepting kind of culture is. Like, for example, a lot of companies are much further ahead because they had to deal with these sexual harassment issues and such a while ago, decades mm-hmm. ago. I think a lot of the tech industry, which was male dominated. And so they just never really, a lot of them just never really had to deal with this that much because there was very few women like in their ranks. And I think even now they still have, people are still wondering why is it that they have such trouble recruiting female employees in some of these companies. And so to them, like the way their culture is, you know, all guys making dirty jokes, kind of locker room, masculine mentality to them, that's a normal business environment. They don't, yeah. I think to them, they don't realize that for the rest of us, that is not a normal business environment. That is like more of a masculine locker room mentality that does not work in other settings at all anymore. And that mm-hmm. it took a long time and they're still fighting, like, and there's still kind of a conflict sometimes in other industries of, and that, so like, I think that's what happens. They think this is normal or they have this opinion that, you know, what having all guys and all men, like in all these, stories or having this mentality in comic book conventions when it's just all them, they don't want to share that with anyone else because they feel like they have to change now. And there's other people on this planet besides you. And some of them like, I guess that's my rant on this. And I found it compelling in particular that people that kind of swear to be secular and like love science fiction and love the future and love engineering have like this almost religious kind of a connection to some of their beliefs, and they behave in a way that I think, you know, when it's on the other side, when it's a religion, like, it's kind of abhorrent, and rightly so. And mm-hmm. I don't know, I've been thinking about that all week, because after, I don't know, the idea, I think somebody mentioned it in a Great Courses episode I was watching, and I, like, after the episode was over, I thought about it, like, for, like, an hour afterwards, and I'm like, yeah, there are, like, a fucking church. Holy shit!
No, I mean, I think you're absolutely right, and it's, like, it's, you know, a lot of these people, they get involved in these things and they become fans because of these things because they might not be able to relate and go along with other parts of society and other things. And like, this is like their little safe place, like you said, where they get to act and be themselves. But, you know, and then when people try to change that and everything, or other people are included that maybe made them feel bad and why they had to have this side thing on themselves, that it stops really being that for them. And you just have to realize, like, you're having an extra over emotional attachment to something, and it's not about the actual subject matter itself anymore. It's about your hang up about your life, you know, and society and everything. And that's what they're bringing to the table. And it doesn't have any place in what this culture really is about. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's too presumptuous about a lot of people, but I feel like that's where some of it comes from. It really does. You're getting into my cool little subculture where I got to be myself and now I don't have to. And now that same world that wasn't always nice to me is now coming into it when I have nothing left now. I have no safe place left anymore. And it's like, well, I mean, I could empathize with that feeling, but at the same time, we're just kind of checking you to be more inclusive and nice to people in general. You know, it's not asking you to do the worst.
That's exactly.
It's like what you wanted, you know, like what everybody really wants and yearns for. And I've been on the both receiving ends, you know, like, well, like and, of like being, you know.
Yeah. And like for, yeah. And like the Gamergate thing, like of the two sides of that kind of thing that was going on, there's only one side threatening the other. There's only one side being overtly hostile and and even in some cases threatening violence. Now, granted, most of those people were trolls. They weren't. Some of them, I think, were just that's what they do.
But it's still a huge echo chamber. Time, it's still super toxic. And then there's like it just takes the wrong balanced person to act on it. Yeah. And we're seeing actually people do it now. You know, mass murders out of sexual frustration.
Yeah, and
essentially,
I think that's the difference. I don't really. Like, I'm not, like, bashing it. Having the opinion is not the problem. It's not, not liking something is not the problem. It's when you are just having this troll-like, like, hostility and just basically saying, like, the nasty things that are said and indicated and directed at, you know, case of Gamergate, directed at women. In the case of, you know, some of the Star Wars controversies, directed at minorities. You know, so you have to ask yourself, like, which side is wrong here? When it's not really whose opinion is better, it's like which one of them is using hostility and threatening violence and intimidation. I don't see anyone from Black Panther. I don't see anyone from Marvel or from any of these places threatening you. Like, that's kind of the point I'm making. Like, they're like Daisy Ridley and Johnny Boyega. They're not threatening anyone. They haven't threatened to like attack male Star Wars fans at a convention, you know. Like, there's not roving gangs of black stormtroopers.
Oh my god, we need that sketch. Yeah, but that sketch, yeah, needs just to
a big gang of women cosplaying as Rey, just randomly attacking Star Wars fans at conventions. Like, this is what happens when you allow women into Star Wars.
No, and at the end of the sketch, it's just like some like hostile nerd waking up out of a nightmare.
Yeah, wakes up in a cold sweat.
Some angry blogger or whatever.
He's clinging to his Star Wars blanket. Yeah, happening in his head. It's like, oh god.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
It's happening. Yep. Yeah. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of similarities, and I think it's definitely a way that you could, you know, just kind of like let people kind of look in the mirror and say, is what you're doing and your opinions really rooted in the right type of logic and is for the right reasons.
What are you really trying to protect?
And at least a way to separate. You know, like, and if you can ask yourself that question honestly, because some people might just kind of gone into these opinions because they do have a purist mindset, and it's easy just to get stuck in a purist mindset about things, but then you're like, I don't know, you're well, following other people. I mean, into unless a it's different adopt area, the thing though, we sometimes.
Love, like the scientific approach to, you know, we're our kind of attitude, or you and I, is like we're more secular about these things, and we don't want to operate like, you know, in our personal lives or even like publicly, like we are some sort of priesthood, you know, standing over everyone else because we're, you know, we're hard, you know, bigger fans, and everyone knows, whoever listens to us, that we don't really watch everything or read everything. So we're not really, we can't really claim authority because we keep saying like, oh yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, I feel like we're a weird type of nerdy where we haven't really got, like, overly gone too far into anything else where we could be an expert on it. I feel like you can be borderline expert on a lot of subjects, but I'm just going to be that dude that knows a little bit about a lot. And I can't claim too much extreme fandom on anything and stuff, so I'm sure there's if there's any hardcore fans listening rolling their eyes at stuff I say, I'm not surprised.
Damn poser. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that would be fair. I wouldn't really fight that hard.
So what? So like the first, I was thinking of like the Reformation itself, how to reform. And like, I was thinking like the best way to look at it is through like the guise of, all right, so what was the age of reason? What was the Reformation before? And
you fucking nerd.
Damn right. So the first, like, but anything can be brought down. So there is no, you know, there's maybe prestige, there's maybe reputation, but I mean, even Einstein is being torn down now. Not as a human being, but some of his theories and some of his work is being pushed back on. So as an example, so even in science, like there's no authority and there's no ownership over physics, for example, or whatever.
Oh my God. What if in the future, some new Borg type, like collective consciousness or whatever is called consensus.
I was thinking the other way around, like somebody in some prestigious university is giving a talk on how they're challenging some of Einstein's math, and as they walk out of there, like a bunch of other physicists jump them. And like, blasphemer!
They literally tar and feather him.
Yeah. Or they crucify him.
Someone just sits back. Why are we doing this? Shut up!
It's like, well, there was another crucifixion done at Oxford University. It's very unfortunate. he said some awful things about Isaac Newton, and like, yeah, those Oxford folk, they get really upset when you mess with Newton. But like, that's one thing. Like, there's no authority, there's no ownership, and so like, when somebody's like, there is no, like, George Lucas, yeah, he writes Star Wars movies, but nobody really considers him, like, what he does, like, the very best and the very whatever. Like, he, you know, he's, so I don't know. Like, I just think, like, dude, there's no authority. You're not the authority. You may love this stuff. You may be a huge fan and know more of the details, but you don't own it. Like, unless you're Disney. If you are Disney, then you own it. That's different. That's IP. That's intellectual property. That's a totally different realm. But if you, unless you own the intellectual property, you don't own it. It's not yours.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, man. Like, oh, man. Like, people get really mad at George Lucas, the guy who came up with the idea for Star Wars. It's like, dude, like, you arguing with the person who made it and saying that he's ruining it, it's like, maybe you just don't like Star Wars. I think that's what that means. You don't like Star Wars anymore. You just liked it once.
Well, it's kind of like when, like, moms say, like, hey, I brought you into this world. I can take you out. It's like, George Lucas is like, look, I made it, and if I want to destroy it and ruin it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, and then you just don't like Star Wars anymore. That's what that means. You stop being a fan. No, that's not what that means.
That's not
you
true.
You can't take that from me.
That's impossible.
I'm taking it from you. Oh, man, what a complicated intern world.
Yes. Yes. And, yeah, number two, there's no doctrine. There's no doctrinal, like, I mean, we call the Star Wars movies canon, but, you know, if somebody made it, they decided, like, to throw that out and start anew, which they did. They basically said all the novels before Disney bought Star Wars are now considered legend. They're not part of the canon of the storyline. So they can do that because they own it, the intellectual property. So, like, what is canon and what isn't doctrine is, like, not up to us.
Nope. Well, no, as soon as Disney bought it, you had to accept that part of it was over, and you have to now go on the Disney ride.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, that's what it is. Dude. You just have to have accepted that. I did, and it's like, I have low expectations, but I know they'll have a high budget.
And, you know, if I have to watch a bunch of Stormtroopers and Darth Vader dance disco, so be it, you know?
You know what? Like, that might be one of my favorite things, you know? Like, if it really starts de-evolving and getting horrible and campy, like, that's what it really was for me to begin with. I was a 90s kid. It's a 70s shit.
I know. I love Family Guy's making fun of the Star Wars movies, because, like, some of the things that they're upset about in the new movies, like, they don't realize, like, these were criticisms of the original, because to them, there is no criticism. Like, the example, like, when in the third movie, It's a Trap. And the general comes up and says, the Emperor's going to be on the new Death Star. And they're like, hey, look, it's a woman. Wow, there's another woman in the universe. And then Leia's like, I don't like her. Like, because if you watch the original three movies, there's really only two or three women with talking roles.
Mm-hmm. No, like that's absolutely true. Man, those original movies are hilarious too. Some of the stuff doesn't make sense. Like, remember when the lightsaber makes the dude disappear?
Yeah.
What's that?
I know. What is that? No. That has never happened since.
Yeah. Like, why?
Or how the two torpedoes or whatever Luke launches at the Death Star go straight and then all of a sudden turn downward into the ventilator shaft. And we're all just supposed to expect that's what they do. They go forward and then they drop down. Like, there's no computer guiding them. He turned it off. So why the fuck are they going? Well, why are they changing direction like that and almost like swirling around like it's going down a drain, like down it. Like, Dumb shit like funny. That.
Or come on, man. The lasers converging in one spot and then going at another angle without anything being there or prism to direct them? Mm-hmm. Come on. I mean, there must be. It has to be.
Kyber crystals. The answer is Kyber crystals.
Yeah.
Or that.
Yeah, so Star Wars altogether, as far as sci-fi goes and stuff like that, is kind of low for me on the totem pole. It's just like high in like fun and action and adventure. That's
it's great for me.
But in sci-fi, it's just kind of low for me, lowbrow and everything. It's a weird space opera. It's like got the fantasy elements to it and stuff. It just kind of like strikes like a lot of fun, like nerd.
And like
action adventure ones, but pure sci-fi, man. Star Trek is superior, man. In philosophy and in writing,
they're so good at their technobabble. Like it is, they've mastered it like for years and years and years. Like some of it is, I mean, a lot of it is planted in real concepts, and they use some real words. But there's a lot of episodes where whatever they're saying, their solution to a problem, it's just technobabble. It's nonsense.
It's great. Oh man, I want to see like a great like clip show or like montage or whatever, Star Trek technobabble. Hold on.
I just want to hear like Spock or Data like just going like, well, maybe if we used a tachyon pulse, and then have somebody like a real physicist in the room like, what the fuck is a tachyon pulse? Like,
Data's broken.
Or that's something to have like in a Star Trek parody. Like they're having that meeting, and the engineer's giving their like technical solution to the problem, and everyone in the room, the captain, the commander's like, I don't understand a word you just said. Are we going to do this? I don't even know. How do we make a decision here? Because you basically just spoke you might as well have just been speaking Portuguese. I don't. And all of them are looking around the table. Like, they're like, did you get any of that? Like, nope. No, but I think we should do it. Sounds good. Yeah, let's do it.
No, you just find out the person that said it had a stroke. Or has like some weird parasitic thing eating on his brain. He actually did say nonsense.
Yep. No.
It's like the obvious new person is like, sounds good to me. And then everybody looks over at him and be like, oh, shit. I'm just trying to fit in.
Yeah.
It's my first day.
When they go down. They go down and like meet the person in the lab, and they're like, he's just sitting there like playing video games. Like, wait, aren't you supposed to be working on that? Like, honestly, dude, I just go up there and I just say a bunch of random stuff, and everyone nods their head like I know what I'm doing. So I've just been doing it, and everything's been turning out okay so far. So, like, I don't know how this shit works either. But it's, you know, I go to these meetings and say it, and everyone nods their head and gives me props. So, hey, why not? It's a good gig.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, man. I think this is a good idea. We could just like slowly start fading out us just talking about dumb Star Trek like parody premises.
Yeah, just about.
Like, we could pretty much just be fading out to us talking about that, and be like, oh, I guess that's the end of the show. I didn't really know where they were going there. I guess I don't know. They went nowhere.
Where else? I don't know. Where else could we go? The Marvel movies and. And Hawkeye's tremendous contributions to the team.
He's always there at all the bake sales.
he gets injured in every battle, and it's like
they always have to keep visiting him at the hospital. Yeah. That's just an ongoing joke. They always have to visit Hawkeye in the hospital.
Yeah. It's like, all right, who's going to take care of the? Well, why don't we let Hawkeye take care of it? No, he can't do it. He just shoots arrows, man. We're going to need Iron Man or something to do it. No, we're going to give him something easy.
Just when somebody does it, when they suggest Hawkeye do it, it's when he's not there and it's an obvious joke. It's like, why don't we just send Hawkeye, and everyone just starts cracking up.
Yeah, they're about to do battle with Thanos, and like, man, if only Hawkeye was here.
And one of the times he is there and he starts crying. It's like Hawkeye, it's about to start, you better go. okay,
fuck you guys, I'm going home. And he like turns around and starts to leave, like, no, come on, dude, no, come on, we're just joking, We're just joking. We need you, Robin Hood. Get on back here.
what was the character from Hunger Games?
Katniss, the main one.
She was also like the Mockingbird.
Yeah.
Yeah, you call him that.
Mockingjay. That's right. easy there, Katniss.
It's Hawkeye.
Easy there, Katniss. Why don't you and PETA run along now? Shut up!
Come on, it's a compliment. She did way more than you ever did.
Yeah, she became a symbol for a revolution. You just retired early. Now he's like, now in the previews for the new movie, he has like a samurai sword or something and a cloak. So now he's, I don't know why or what it is, but like in the preview, you see him with a sword, like cleaning the blood off the sword. I'm like, wait, now, all right, now he's a swordsman? Like, is he, do you want us to just call him Robin Hood? We can just do that.
I mean, he could just be like a master of old, why even being a master of old school weapons? I mean, come on. I mean, I know like a lot of Marvel stuff wasn't about guns and everything, but like, it's tough, man.
Yeah, and I remember Tony Stark's original idea was to make, he wasn't going to make weapons anymore. He was going to make defensive kind of things, but I don't know. He sure looks like he's made a lot of weapons since then.
Yeah. I mean, in order to still be a billionaire.
Yeah, he wasn't serious about giving that up. I think it's pretty obvious. That was just one press conference. I think
they just tightened up their supply chain or whatever, you know, like just a little bit more oversight probably.
Yeah.
You know, they just revamped that whole department and stuff and.
Yeah, they
started to incorporate blockchain.
They hired a new COO, did some Lean Six Sigma, you know, really, really turned things around there at Stark. Yeah, that's what was needed. then he went on the interview tour, you know, going on CNBC and Fox News and talking to all the business heads about all the big changes of turning his company around. And you know, really, it was a big PR campaign, and it worked. You know, it really props to Tony Stark and his PR team. They really did it. It was more Pepper Potts. She was the brains behind it. Making her CEO was the best thing he ever did.
Yeah, everything's gonna get done right.
Yeah, like he didn't. Yeah,
he's not gonna pay attention to that shit.
Yeah, like the supply, like all the.
That's why it happened, man. That's why weapons were in the wrong hands because Tony Stark was watching shit.
Yeah, that's. I think that's what happened. Like he didn't do anything. He just hired Pepper Potts, and she cleaned up the supply chain and Lean Six Sigma, some more accountability, and you know, more getting people retrained on the new SOPs. You know, I mean, yeah, that was all Pepper. Yeah, he was, you know. Playing around with his dolls.
Yep. That's awesome.
All right.
So
Something else.
I mean, I don't know how you didn't know this, but Rick and Morty got signed on for like 70 more episodes. I'm sure they get to release them whenever the fuck they feel like, maybe in like 10 episode like blotches or something. I don't fucking know. But the article that I read was like from this summer. So this somehow slipped past us. Our listeners probably already fucking know this. This is just embarrassing on our parts. And I guess like the Tick live action shit or whatever that they did is going to get another season. Nice. I didn't start watching it, but someone mentioned it at work, and I used to love the cartoon, The Tick. I never really watched the live-action shit, but that's kind of interesting, something from my 90s childhood that I feel like I might get a little nostalgic on and catch up on.
Yeah, I definitely love the Tick cartoon. It wasn't like the funniest, but I did enjoy it. And
it had some really good adult humor in it. It wasn't always really well done, but like it just sometimes it had some really awesome adult jokes in it, and we were kind of at that weird age where we got it or we rewatched it and it was like, holy shit, how is this a kid's cartoon? How did this make it?
I love the character Deflator Mouse. And
oh, dude, it's the best. Well, like when the
I was waiting for you, man.
All right, dude. I just loved it when the tick came up with the tick signal and he brought it to the commissioner or whatever, and it's all like, hey, whenever anything happens, we'll put this. And it's like, oh, we got a bunch of these. Whenever we put on Deflator Mouse's signal, he leaves town for 2 months.
That's exactly the one I remember.
Yeah, that's the best. Deflator Mouse is such a douchebag.
He disconnects his phone and leaves town.
Yeah, he was like Job. It was the best, man. And then Arthur or whatever, the freaking like accountant, was such a coward. The tick was so freaking dumb. Spoon is the best.
American made.
American made.
Yeah. Let's see. Other more casting news came out about the Dune movie. Javier Bardem is going to be in it. Stellar Skarsgård, I think we talked about last time. He's in it. And Dave Bautista, we already mentioned. So, like, it's starting to fill out. And it's kind of like an eclectic cast so far. Like, there's big names, but there's no... He's not trying to, like, load this up with, like, superstar, like, expensive actors. Like, for example, the guy he picked for Paul Atreides, Muad'Dib, is... he's a star known for making movies that get nominated for awards, not for, you know, being, like, a big... you know, box office draw. So it's, I'm kind of excited. I think I like that approach. I do like Denis Villeneuve, and then it's just, I don't know. It's my favorite novel of all time. I'm really glad that they put it in the right hands, and I don't know. I'm getting psyched about it.
So this is, that's pretty cool that that's coming together. I can't wait to actually see that. And the fact that they're going to do it right in long format.
I know. Yes. Yes. Exactly. And the I was wondering if they were going to try and change up some of the secondary characters and everything, and how they were. I am curious to see how they're going to handle the obvious like connection between the Fremen religion and Islam. I think the reason that they stayed away from this for the last like 20 years is because of 9/11. And they didn't want to make a movie where the hero and a lot of the cause was of jihad and everything. So they, now that it's 2019, I think they feel more comfortable doing it. But it's I'm curious to see how they handle that, or if they're just going to go with what Frank Herbert wrote.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I'll probably have a lot of future podcasts about that. That'll be a really great topic. I mean, and to see how they approach it. I mean, there'll be a lot of controversy either way, no matter which way they go mm-hmm. with it. There's going to be a side that's going to create controversy.
Yeah.
So which route do they take?
I'm going to turn this into a Dune podcast. That's all we're going to talk about.
Yeah, no, we could totally do that. It'll be like The Talking Dead, but we'll come up with a name just for Dune, and I'll have to read all the books, or I could just be the ignorant one you explain stuff to.
You only really need to... Well, honestly, the only required for the movie, first two movies, the only required reading is the first novel. That's it. I think it's going to be a long time before we get into the sequel novels, because as I heard, they're breaking the first book. The first movie is going to cover the first half of the book. So we got.
Wait, is it going to be movie format? I thought this was going to be a show.
No, it's a movie.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to be two movies for the first novel.
Okay.
And what they do after that, I don't know. But this is a movie, and it's but it's going to be a while before they get into the other books. So, I mean, you got plenty of time. Assuming they even do that. I mean, I don't know if this franchise really has the broad enough appeal to keep it going, because it's not cookie cutter superhero stuff, and it's not flashy. And we just discussed one of the things that might, you know, make people a little bit uncomfortable, you know, with the whole relation to Islam. So it's, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. I'm down. I'm down on Loren. I want him to stay true to it and create the controversy and stand behind it.
The spice must flow.
Yes.
I just want to see somebody snorting spice.